Good morning. It's 8:38 Finger Lakes Morning News, and it's time to get healthy with Finger Lakes Health, and that means Laura Turbide is here. Good morning.
Good morning, Tad.
And how are you?
Very well. How are you?
I'm doing well. You got one of my favorite Finger Lakes Health guests here today to talk a little cardiac prehab.
One of my favorites, too. Always a fantastic partner for us in terms of being out there in the community and giving his time and talent. And this is Dr. Joe Gomez. Many of you have heard us before, but if you haven't, I hope you listen up because we have something fantastic to offer you. And if you have and you haven't taken full advantage of the multiple ways that Dr. Gomez has gotten himself out there from the very first day in our community, he was committing personal time, talent, his expertise to help make our community healthier and especially to focus on prevention. So some of you may remember when we did the hypertrophic cardiomyopathy screening for young adults to really reduce that risk of early death. We then have suddenly really put an emphasis on primary prevention for all ages. So he's one of the few people I know who wants to put himself out of business. He wants to work with folks on primary prevention of cardiovascular disease so that as our cardiologist, as with Geneva General Cardiology Associates, that he doesn't have to see us for these incidents. So we're going to talk a little bit about cardiac prehab. We are just counting on our fingers. We are at number 9. So Dr. Gomez, welcome. Dr. Gomez has been with us, I want to say, since 2008.
Oh, I don't know. We're going on almost 10 years left.
10 years.
Almost 10.
Yeah, that's
what I was
going to say.
Goes by fast.
So 10 years and came really at a time that was so critical. I think people forget how critical it was that at one point we did not have cardiology services where people would respond in our ER. Can you imagine that? So here we are 10 years later. He came, he made this commitment to say, we're going to have the kind of cardiology services that every community our size deserves. He's going to be here and provide not only care and medical care and working on testing and all the kinds of things that we can talk about that he does in general with his practice, but also really began to say, how do we help our communities become healthier on the front end of things? So we're going to talk about cardiac prehab, which is, this is our 9th session of cardiac prehab, and I'm going to let him talk to you a little bit about his brainstorm and his brainchild and what this is.
All right, Dr. Joe Gomez, welcome back.
Ted, now, thanks so much.
Did you write all that?
You know, it's unbelievable. I'm glad that this is radio because nobody can see me blushing right now. It's nothing like setting the bar nice and low.
Oh, man. So you're telling me right before we went on, your office overlooks the construction of the new football field and it's looking good, huh?
Oh, it looks great. It looks great. Can't wait to see the kids out there. They're doing a fantastic job.
So now, in cardiology, when did the focus begin to change from treating heart patients to trying to prevent there from being as many in the first place, and this whole prevention idea?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, from a historical standpoint, you know, we've done, you know, if you look at the 70s and 80s with the introduction of a coronary care unit, and then kind of segueing or carrying on from that, the concept of cardiac rehabilitation or cardiac rehab, you know, where we try to introduce a lot of education for patients that have coronary artery disease, realizing that, you know, if we can get people to take more of ownership, you know, in their own coronary health, you know, we can do a lot better. So the issue with cardiac rehab, as we've talked about many, many times, is by definition, to get into the program, you have to have a cardiac event. So, you know, if we go back and think about how does coronary artery disease present? It can present in one of three ways. One, you can have a little chest pain, some symptoms, be smart enough to tell your healthcare provider, and in general, you probably will do pretty well at that point. And the second way is you're sitting in the emergency room having a heart attack saying, how did this happen? Again, if that's the case, it's less than optimal, but most people will do pretty well at that point. Unfortunately, the third way that coronary disease presents is with sudden cardiac death. And even though it's not the most common way, it's far, far, far too common, and a lot of people just don't get that second chance. So until we're better, you know, at diagnosing coronary disease from an early standpoint, I think it behooves all of us to focus on prevention, and that's kind of how we've really, really, you know, tried to emphasize the primary prevention instead of secondary.
Still, the number one cause of premature death
is
that. Are you seeing signs of it beginning to change?
You know, I think everyone, whether we talk about the oncology world, the infectious diseases world, the cardiac world, everyone's making headway in improving mortality. But no, unfortunately, we are still head and shoulders above everyone else.
So what is the difference between a cardiac episode of some sort, an actual heart attack? At what point do we call it a heart attack?
Yeah, you know, so you know, the buzz term that we use now is an acute coronary syndrome, where there is some instability in the coronary arteries, the plumbing is obstructed. It might not be completely obstructed, where there is absolutely no flow to the heart muscle. And I guess that would be a heart attack or a myocardial infarction, where there is no oxygen to the heart muscle begins dying, and that's a heart attack. There, like everything else, there's a spectrum where we see a lot of progression, you know, to that point. The treatment for most of these is about the same. You know, we want to improve blood flow through the coronary arteries quickly, and obviously keep that going long into the future.
So let's talk about this prehab program. The next one is in Penyan. It begins on Tuesday, October 10th. Talk about the whole process of developing this program and then what's involved.
So we were just saying, Ted, you and I have been talking about this, and Larry, we've been talking about this for almost 4 or 5 years. You know, we started in Seneca Falls at that time, and we've run, this will be our eighth program now. The concept, as I said, was based on cardiac rehabilitation, where we focus a lot on education, getting people to take ownership, getting people to be more knowledgeable about the disease process. So the course or the program is run just like an adult night school class, if you will. We started out at 10 sessions a couple years ago. Now we've kind of honed it down. We've become a little bit more efficient in our message, and we run it for 6 consecutive weeks for a couple hours each session. What we do a lot is the goals are, one, you learn about cardiology. So, you know, who doesn't want to learn a little bit more about the heart? It's kind of fun. You learn a little bit more for Jeopardy. Second, as I said, you know, in learning about the disease process, I think by definition, you're going to learn how to be healthier, not just from a coronary disease standpoint, but in just about every aspect of your life.
And that's one of the beautiful things about this and all these other programs we talk about is doing all those things is good for almost everything.
Oh, no question about it.
In all of the various preventive programs that we have in, it's lose weight, eat better, exercise, and so it'll benefit not only your heart, but everything.
You know, many risks are modifiable? Yeah. People just don't begin to recognize.
Right.
There may be things we think are out of control. We may know what happened and how our ancestors might have passed away, et cetera. But those things are maybe a little bit out of our control, but so much more of it is in our control. And I think the more people, I think, are empowered to recognize that and be given actionable tools to help behavioral change on those modifiable risks that what we've talked about, from diabetes to cardiac risk to cancer risk, et cetera.
You know, and again, it's not just about keeping yourself healthy in the future. Just about everything we do is going to make you feel better sooner as well as later. And then just to finish the thought, the third kind of thing we try to do is get our participants to feel comfortable not only with the knowledge, with the information that we put out there for themselves, but to go and tell their friends, their family, their coworkers. So we're kind of trying to teach people to be educators. And I think that's how we spread the message exponentially.
I think everybody knows in general, like I said, eat better, exercise, all those things. Mm-hmm. Is there any kind of aha moment in this course that where there's a piece of information that people maybe didn't know that suddenly makes them realize that they can have a little control over this process?
You know, I'm not sure if there's one moment so much as when you look back and say, okay, we've talked about all the risk factors. And that's really what this class is about. It's about identifying risk factors for coronary disease and doing something about it. And I think the aha moment is to say, listen, if I can do these things, boy, I can really, really reduce the chances of myself, my family, my friends, you know, of having a cardiac event. And really, you know, just between the three of us and whoever else is listening, this is not really that complicated stuff. You know, it's a very, very straightforward process. Is there work to be done? Absolutely. But this is something that everybody can do. And as I said, you know, the idea is not just to prolong life, but it's to make people feel better on a short term as well as a long term basis.
I think two areas that people are less knowledgeable about as well. Obviously, there's the behavioral changes we were talking about and real actionable tips. Secondarily, information about medications. I've gone to several of these sessions where these are the kinds of things that you're never really going to take the time to fully understand or ask in depth in an office visit. There's just not time. You can't do it. You don't want to feel embarrassed. Like, I don't understand, why would this medicine make this happen, and what's the real mechanism behind this for my cholesterol control, et cetera. So I think people learning a little bit more about their medications and really understanding how they interplay together, but also how do we medically manage conditions? Because let's face it, some people are actually on medications, and that's a part of this path for some people. And then I think the other piece is even demystifying the use of an AED. We really obviously want to avoid people having to have a cardiac event, but we still live in a society where we just talked about number one killer of men and women. So we know people who we love, who we care about, people who are in our vicinity may at some point end up in a cardiac event crisis, and having the confidence, the skill, just like anybody who's ever been through like a fire training and you've used that fire extinguisher, you've used it once, you start to understand and be less frightened, and then you can actually be of help to give people that second chance. So let's hope we get to the point where no one needs those AEDs. But the fact that Dr. Gomez will show people, walk them through basically CPR techniques as well as walking through how to use an AED and just demystifying that process, to me, are all ways in which, as he said, creating educators, creating in essence a little group of champions who are out there educating, creating a healthy cardiac community.
So now with 9 years of this under your belt, do you have enough data to do tracking and see how people have gone through this course are doing compared to the general population?
You know, so we've been doing the course about 4 or 5 years. So I think we're just getting to the point where we should be able to see some outcomes. You know, I think that my hope is that as we look at people, not only are there, first of all, that they're staying in touch with their providers, they're monitoring their blood pressure, they're looking at their cholesterol, they're looking at their blood sugar. Just as importantly, they are participating or using a healthy lifestyle, which is one of the things we focus on, watching their diet, thinking about exercise on a daily basis. So all those things. And we're just going to get into the point where hopefully, you know, we'll see some change in people that have gone through the course or have, you know, taken the time to educate themselves versus the general population.
I think it's important to mention this course is free. There are no barriers for people. Call us, go on our website, sign up. We're talking beginning Tuesday, October 10th in Penn Yan, and beginning to run this course in Yates County over 6 weeks. There is one Monday night of the group of six, so 5 Tuesdays, 1 Monday. Also important to say, this really began the McGowan Charitable Trust, who has Marion Brand, a wonderful friend, Finger Lakes Health, out as part of this work years ago, saw the promise in this and really helped create that first funding that really has allowed us to do this. This, along with Dr. Gomez's time and commitment and Finger Lakes Health's commitment to say, we're going to make this accessible and have there be no barriers for people to attend.
I always like to talk when we have these discussions about the symptoms of a cardiac episode and what to do about it, because that's one of the things that's also improved is if you get quick treatment, like we always talk about with stroke,
no question,
there are better outcomes. So what do we look for? And what do we do if we think something's happening?
You know, we always talk about trying to decrease traffic through the emergency room for things that are not emergencies. You know, when we talk about symptoms of a heart attack, it's exactly the opposite, Ted. So if I would preface by saying, if you or someone around you suspects that they are having a problem with their heart, if they are having chest pain coming from the heart, if they think, if it even enters your mind that you are having a heart attack, you want to activate, you know, your health system, which in this case would be calling 911. Do not drive yourself to the emergency room. You call the ambulance. The ambulance brings you to the emergency room. One of the things, of all the good things that happens in the emergency rooms, ruling out or ruling in chest pain coming from coronary artery disease is something they do tremendously well. It's what the doctors like to take care of, and that's the best place to be.
So, and Geneva General is a chest pain center of excellence, so I would point out you are going to be in the right place.
Yep. No, so I think that's the one thing. It's not something that we want to dwell on. If the worst thing that happens is you're evaluated, you're found to not have chest pain coming from heart disease, that's not a bad thing. You've really put yourself in a win-win situation if you get yourself to the emergency room as quickly as possible.
All right, real good. Dr. Joe Gomez, thanks. This is a great course. The screening you've done with the athletes, as we know, probably saved some lives, and you're getting the word out, and we appreciate your time as always.
Ted, it's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Laura, thank you.
See you soon.
All right, 2 weeks. We get healthy with Finger Lakes Health. It's 8:52 now on the Finger Lakes Morning News.